This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Listening to Garden Talk here on AM 1170 KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Ken is visiting the great state of Texas this morning.
It is a great state.
I always end up, when I do those little tests, where should you live, but I always end up in Texas on those tests. I don't know why.
He sent me a picture in front of the Capitol building, I think, of a beautiful tree with purple flowers on it. It's funny because somebody, a customer earlier that same morning I got the text, had just returned one. So it wasn't Sephora. Is it Sephora?
Sephora, the Texas. Be. It could be.
Yeah. Okay. That's a beautiful tree. Beautiful tree. Beautiful tree. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I forgot to say good morning.
How are you?
Sorry.
That's
very
right.
Well. How are we? You guys are all ready for this week? You all ready, Dave?
I'm pretty ready.
This week is almost over.
I mean, next week. I'm sorry. Good point.
Well, this
I always speak. My English isn't very good.
Hey, for a second language, it's great.
Yeah.
So I'm not. I'm fully supportive of it. I saw the moon this morning, about a quarter of a moon through kind of wispy cirrus clouds and a very fine fog out in the East County.
It was a pretty dense fog coming in from Poway.
But as soon as I left my house, it became dense through Rancho San Diego, Spring Valley, Grossmont Summit, and then it cleared up down into Mission Valley until I climbed the mesa to Sara Mesa, and it got foggy again. Yes. But you had it all the way.
I had a little opening there by Miramar on the mesa, and I could see the moon. But other than that, it was foggy.
It was gorgeous out at my house this morning. Very clear with just the wisps, and the moon looked, I don't know, especially nice for. We're in spring now, right?
That happened this week? Last week it happened. On that's Sunday, right? So this week, but less weekend.
Well, if Mark is
that's
wrong.
Why I corrected, that's why I corrected it.
Okay.
This
okay.
week, but last weekend.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for fixing that. You knew where I was going there, huh?
You were ready to chastise me.
Yes, I was.
I'm used to it. So.
All good.
Yes, I was. And the weather this week.
It was great. It was phenomenal.
It was supposed to be real nice today again. A little warm today.
Nice today and tomorrow. Yeah, it's supposed to be in the upper 70s and low 80s through most of the county. A little bit cooler right along the coast.
Right.
But the rest of the county, it's going to be baking again. And it's perfect time. I still have my tomatoes. I've been watering them every morning in
the
six-packs.
Wait, the ones that you and I swapped?
Yes.
In a six-pack. Now, that takes extra water, those little tiny.
Yes, they do. Every morning, especially when it's 80 degrees during
Goodness.
The day.
Ours are planted, just saying.
What are you just saying, George?
I'm just saying that once in a while, I've been more proactive than I typically am. So they're in
once
the ground.
Once in a while. Again, what are you saying, George?
Nothing. It's an observation.
Thank you, sir. So George and I, being the
thrifty.
Thank you. Thrifty people we are. We each bought a six pack of two different types of tomatoes, and then we swapped three cells out of each of them.
Makes sense.
Yes, and so
I do that with customers. A lot of people come in and say, I need two,
right.
But I don't want to buy the larger ones. And I say, well, buy a six pack. And they'll say, well, I don't need that many. Well, then share them with a neighbor because it's the same cost. Just share them with a neighbor.
It's the truth.
But very few people will do that.
No, it's true. And I guess that's nice that they don't want to waste. But
well, they could compost it, and then it's a circle of life sort of thing. But find somebody.
Yeah, somebody. Yeah. There's people out there.
I'll take it.
Go donate it to a
school garden.
School garden or
there you go.
Yeah, community garden or something. Somebody will take it.
Gump, that's a great answer. That is a great answer. Seriously.
No, really?
Yeah. No, I'm not being sarcastic this time.
This time.
Well,
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there is a school garden that would like them.
Absolutely. I mean, there's people out there that would, They don't want to spend $3.99 for one plant, but they don't want to buy six because they don't want to waste it. It's like there's somebody out there that'll take your plant.
I've never thought of you as a thoughtful individual, Mark. Well, now I'm going to have to rethink my whole.
No. Typically, I'm not.
Big paradigm shift here this morning.
Did you get any tomatoes yet this year, Mr. Mahady?
Yeah, I actually have. I've had a few cherry. Again, I didn't plant it. It was a one that came up in the backyard. Little cherry tomatoes. Awesome. There was a Sun Gold initially.
And now it's Mark's Delight.
Yeah, but they're tasty as heck. I'll tell you that.
Excellent. Tasty. What did we get? It was Champion. No, Celebrity and Sun Gold.
No, it was Champion. And
Champion
Sun Gold.
And Sun Gold.
Sun Gold. Right. I also put some Costa Ludo in because I like those a lot.
I got my own six pack of Early Girls too because I have to share them and.
You've got a family.
Couple in for yes. And needy neighbors.
Not that George doesn't, but I'm just saying.
I just like having a couple different varieties in the garden, especially some of the good heirlooms, which are ugly, often misshapen, but they are the most
delicious. So what are the ugly heirlooms that you like?
Well, sometimes like
have.
Black Crim, Cherokee Purple, you know, they kind of get a little misshapen, but they are just so delicious.
I'm very bitter about the Cherokee Purple situation.
What's going on with it? There's a situation?
There's a situation.
I didn't know.
Every year, I can't tell you how many years, that's my go-to heirloom.
You can tell us.
I'm going to have to. I will tell you. Are you sure?
Go ahead.
I get them in six packs because one of our growers grows Cherokee Purple heirlooms in six packs. And then we can do the swap and share and all that stuff.
Right, right, okay.
But so far this year, we have not gotten a single six-pack of Cherokee Purple tomatoes, only in the individual 4-inch pots. And you guys know how I am.
Well, you're not buying up.
That's right.
And that's not just with the Cherokee Purples, though. I mean, we've had an
there's a cell shortage.
There is. I was talking to Brian about...
Are you serious?
Six really? Packs. Yeah,
six packs in general are very difficult
to get.
Well,
that makes sense, I guess, with plastics and fuel and I don't know.
Just the whole the whole kit and caboodle.
Huh.
Now that I've dragged everybody down.
Let's pick them back up.
Okay. Well, something very positive is about to happen.
Yes.
Today?
No.
This week?
This week.
Wait a minute. What was the definition of this week? it's next week.
Okay, next week. Are we going to maybe get a little moisture?
I think the weather is changing. And it's funny because this one just kind of popped up. It isn't something that they've been saying for 2 weeks. It's coming. And then they back off and say, well, sorry, we raised your hopes.
We were wrong, yeah.
But it looks like we're going to get significant rain on Monday.
We are. We read last night that L.A. may double its water rain this season.
That reminds me of a Ross Perot saying. Do you remember it? If you're walking down the street with a penny in your pocket and you find a penny on the ground... And you pick it up and put it in your pocket, you just doubled your net worth. It was something like that. So if you have very little rain and you get an extra inch or two of rain.
And you can double it.
You've doubled it. Doubled. But we're expecting between 1 and 2 inches of rain from the coast all the way inland and then maybe double that amount in the mountains. So it is a perfect time, a week or weekend or coming week, to do what?
Well, fertilize. Fertilize.
Get out there and get the fertilizer.
Yes. Yeah. Now, and if you want to wait till Sunday, if you want to wait till Monday, that might be a little bit better. But if you want to do it Sunday, we would allow that as well.
I'm going out Sunday and doing that.
Forecast.
It has to hold. Otherwise, you're going to end up having to go out and water.
You'll probably have to do anyway. I started watering this week a lot of things because it's been warm.
We did too. I started watering a number of particularly the newer fruit trees that aren't quite as established. They got a little bit of extra water.
And the avocados. Those are the ones I was worried about.
Citrus, making sure that citrus is producing.
And the avocados are blooming and the fruit is ripe at the same time, so I really do not want to stress them right now.
So you mentioned feeding this weekend or this coming week because of the rains. Have you done any feeding up till now?
I have a couple of times. And I think once when I told you guys on the air that I was going to that day or the next day.
I actually did it.
So you don't use a fertilizer where you're too concerned with burning, like if a triple 16 or something. So you're willing to fertilize again with this rain if you fertilized 4 weeks ago or something?
It was a month or two ago.
So you'd feed again?
I'd be happy. Yes, okay. I do not use generally, the harsh, strong ones. And so I can throw it out there. I do still prefer to wait until it's raining or darn close. And Monday, late morning, is when it's really supposed to start. So I may wait until Monday.
But get it down.
But have the fertilizer at hand. Yeah. Right. And grow power is not going to burn. And the organics aren't going to burn. There is some concern to having Grow Power Plus, the soil penetrant from Grow Power Plus. There's some concern to have that sitting on foliage for a day or two. So that you would want to be a little bit more careful of if it's going to be sitting on foliage. But for under fruit trees, I had no qualms at all.
No reservations.
Neither
do I. That's why I was asking that, because we have folks that will say, well, I just fed back in first week of February. Why would I do it now? I want to burn my plants.
Yeah.
Even so, if you fed heavily a month ago, feed a little bit lighter this time. But take advantage of
the rain.
Of clean rainwater.
I know we have things we have to get to, but before we go,
what do we have to get to?
We're going to talk about classes and stuff.
But
before we go there,
yes.
With regard to fertilizing, do you have any plants that you would not fertilize because they're flowering or in bloom or have fruit on them? With the exception of maybe...
No, except for I do have a couple of proteas.
And what about camellias? I mean, that's one, right? If it's flowering, we don't want to do it.
Correct.
The reason I ask is I've had a number of customers that read, you know, on the worldwide internet webby thing that I shouldn't fertilize fruit trees that have fruit. He was not going to feed any citrus because they had fruit and or flowers.
Which should be almost year-round.
I know, and that's what I was saying. You have lemon trees and lime trees that flower all year-round. How are you ever going to feed them if you...
Well, you know, George, I'm glad you mentioned this then, because that is very important. And I've come across many people who think they need to strip the fruit off
once it's ripe
because the new fruit's coming on. And no, that's not true. Let your citrus trees hold food for you, your
so
fruit for you.
So it doesn't rot on the counter.
So it doesn't rot on the counter or in the fridge.
So are you telling me that things on the internet are sometimes not true?
I didn't tell you that. George is telling you that sometimes those things on the internet, oh my gosh, so many more people are coming in every day with, I need this exact number of fertilizer because I read it on the internet.
It's like, well, I mean,
or lime or this kind of product. And when you ask them why, and they'll say, well, I read it on the internet. And then you say, was it something that was tailored for the West Coast? Was
East
it San
Coast,
Diego?
Yes,
was it something that was an EDU site where there's some authority to it? As opposed to, Joe's garden blog from...
And they have no idea, typically.
Right.
It's like, well, no, I don't know. But yeah, you are absolutely right. The East Coast, West Coast thing is when most things are written for the East Coast, typically, you have to source it out a bit, but it is nuts.
Well, no. I was just yesterday somebody needed a triple 16. That's what it, triple 10.
I heard the radio call.
But what she had been using was a triple 16 water soluble, which I've never even seen, but she swore to me it was a water soluble. And that adds a whole nother layer of things. If you're using water solubles, that comes and goes much more quickly and has to be done much more frequently.
Correct.
And that is not what we're talking about applying right before the rain.
No.
I just want to make that clear. Is that okay?
You certainly can do that, but that's not what you're talking about.
Now, George, do we have classes coming up?
We do. Do you want to hit it after the break? Or?
Well, yeah, I wanted you to start to say it, and then I was going to say...
today at 9 o'clock...
Wait. Let's hold that thought, because we're going to have to take a break. So if you'd like to know what classes are coming up, stick around. You're listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170 KCBQ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. We're going to take a quick break and come back with classes right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170 KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Ken is on vacation this week, enjoying himself, you would like to give us a call, the phone number is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Yes, right before we went into the break, George was about to tell us the upcoming garden classes at both.
Well, I was, but I actually used that as a, because you wanted me to do that for the segue, right. But I wanted to finish up our conversation about finding things on the internet.
Okay.
Because we have a guy who has a master's degree in botany, teaches a number of our classes, Chuck McClung. He's a local author, did the book on how to get orchids to rebloom. Whenever he teaches, that's one of the first things he uses as his talking points is when you find something on the internet, make sure it's tailored for the area in which you're growing. And,
right.
And because we do have a lot of folks, Mark, you and I were chatting, they come in looking for lime, you know, to balance their pH because they read it on the internet.
Well, we do have some bare limes. We just got them in.
And Mexican limes, too.
Yes.
And sweet limes. Well, I don't know if we have any sweet limes. But they're talking agricultural lime, which will, you know, make an acidic soil more neutral and or alkaline, which we don't need here. We have naturally alkaline soil. So,
correct.
Anyway, so it's important to know what resource you're using if you're going to purchase products based on the web.
When I was growing up, I used to throw lime in the horse stalls. So don't tell me we don't need lime.
But that was a different reason.
Exactly.
You certainly can use it. So I do ask them, why do you need it? If they were said to throw it in the horse stall, that was hip.
Here, that'd be different.
Let me get you some more.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing that you just touted Chuck McClung, who does know his stuff.
He does
And he
know
does
his
have
stuff.
The MS.
Right.
And, or M, M, what is
MS.
It?
MS.
Masters.
Yeah. Mm. Science in botany.
Okay, MS in botany. But they're listening to us here, and you had to justify, or not justify, you justified our using that phrase by his education.
Right.
And we're just as right when we say it.
Absolutely.
I just want you to know that.
Absolutely. I was using him to reinforce our position.
I appreciate that. Now, do we have any classes coming up?
We do have classes, coincidentally, since you brought it up.
What might they be?
At 9 o'clock in San Diego today, we have a propagation techniques class with Richard.
Yeah. Very
and
good.
In Poway at 9:30, blueberries, care and culture, with Richard Wright. Now, do you guys grow blueberries?
I don't have. Well, I don't have any more.
Do you?
I think I still have two blueberries that are alive in the backyard up on the bank, but I'm not sure. I haven't looked.
We have blueberries, and I have some that are over 10 years old. And if you, I have found growing them in a container is the easiest way here because going back to that.
Other
alkalinity, the acidity inside. They just in pots. You can grow them and maintain the correct pH, and they grow well.
What did you pot them in?
The azalea mix or
straight pink bag.
Yep,
azalea mix.
They've been like I said, 10 years. I feed them with whatever acid fertilizer I can find. Dr. Earth has one.
I
use cottonseed meal, which is an acidifying fertilizer. Anyway, it works well growing them in containers. Anyway, 9:30 today, Richard Wright. 9 o'clock next week, staghorn fern care and remounting with Olivia. That's on April 2nd.
I thought you had scheduled me for a class I didn't know about.
No, I would let you know.
Okay,
so
thank
you. That's down in San Diego. And then this is going to be a good one at 9:30 in Poway next Saturday on the 2nd. What is an arborist and when should I call one? What do they do?
That's
going to be good
question.
Because we have a lot of people, you know, we try to help folks when they come into the store. We give them advice, but at some point we go, you know, that's a little beyond us. You might want to call an arborist. Well, who do I call? What do I do? So we have a certified arborist. He's actually a agricultural scientist from Fresno State is where he got his degree.
Who's that?
Kirk Peacock is going to come in and teach for us.
I remember having a conversation once with Mark Mahady, who told me Kirk Peacock is the smartest horticulturalist he knows or something
it's
there.
True.
He knows his stuff. And not only is he a certified arborist, but he's also, and I've had these kind of conversations with customers about somebody who needs an expert witness.
Right.
Or they've had problems with neighbors and trees and things. And he does that all.
He knows his stuff.
Again, not to get into the arborist thing, but we get calls typically all the time about people wanting to know how to prune, you know, what should I do with this tree? And should I cut off the roots? It's growing. It's like, you know, in a perfect world, yes, but depending on the size of the trees. But there's, you know, when you start getting into, you know, 60-foot trees and something falling over and you're going to cut roots off, you don't want to screw around with that. We can't answer those questions.
It's probably fine, except for this, and this might be problems.
If we get lots of rain and big windstorm, it might fall over on your house. I mean,
so it might be a good idea to have somebody come out and look. Yes.
Like, if you're going to go on my opinion,
Well, I'm looking forward to that class because in addition to the, you know, when should I call one, you know, there's going to be some helpful hints that you can do as a homeowner. And, you know, these are things you can do it yourself. But, you know, after this point, you might want to reach out to a professional.
Correct. Absolutely true.
I was just laughing because you might want to reach out to a professional after getting done talking to us. It was kind of a shot backhanded.
You know what I meant.
I do know what you mean. And you're absolutely correct. Yeah. So those are the classes coming up.
Today and next week, correct.
Thank you. Today and next week. And we will review those at the end of the class. End of the show.
Do we have any callers?
No.
Really? It's funny. I don't understand.
No. People, I mean, really, yes.
We do?
No.
Oh, no, we don't.
Yes.
For some reason I'm having.
Okay.
Yeah, at any rate.
What else?
Well, no, I was going to. I want to
call because a lot of people are afraid to call because then they don't want to.
Talk to me.
Well, yeah, probably.
I won't talk.
Ask questions.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. Are you okay with that?
I'm fine with that.
I was going to go back to citrus blooms, bees, and we talked about feeding. We still have a warm day, and it might be a time to spray, unless they're in full bloom, in which case you wouldn't want to do that.
And so what are you spraying?
I would do horticultural oil.
So would I, but you left it just kind of open.
Well, I was waiting for somebody to ask me a question.
Okay, so horticultural oil on your citrus.
Unless they're in full bloom, and then in which case, wait. But it just takes a few hours for it to do what it needs to do, so don't worry about the rain coming up. My whole front yard smells so good from all the citrus blossoms and the macadamias in full bloom.
Macadamias are starting to bloom right now. Insanely fragrant.
It smells so good. And the bees are all over it. I'm not worried about bees now. The weather is warm. It's buzzing when I got home last evening.
Also, ours are all in full bloom, and it's spectacular. Yeah. I want to put a little bistro table down there to have coffee amongst
the trees. How do you spell bistro in this case?
B-I-S-T-R-O.
Oh, not B-E-E-S-T-R-O? No, that's what I thought you were. Okay. That's where I thought you were going with it.
That's a company idea right there.
Yeah. Bistro?
Yeah, that's a good. I can picture a nice emblem for a company.
Is the bee going to be sitting at a bistro table?
Maybe so.
Okay. Sipping nectar?
Is that the... do I have to give you royalties if I go with that?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. All right.
I just need credit. No royalties, just credit.
All right.
And I had a friend that was asking about spinosad for their citrus trees, and they got spinosad and oil and wanted to know which one to use first for citrus. And the spinosad is for citrus leaf miner. And I did not speak down to said person, but what is the problem with that question? Where am I headed with this? Which one would you use first?
What am I trying to treat?
The spinosad is for citrus leaf miner.
But my question is,
and the oil is for everything else.
Right, but do I have citrus leaf miner action happening right now? That would be my question.
Well, you don't even need to ask that question because you know the answer.
I do, but that would be what I would ask them to see why they want to use it right now.
But if I said this is for when the citrus leaf miner shows up in mid to late May.
Then I would say, I would suggest you go with the
oil first.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what I did.
And the reason I was trying to pull something there from you was I had a customer yesterday that wanted spinosad, and I was saying we don't really need it till about May. He goes, well, my leaves have citrus leaf miner. I said, it's usually the old leaves. If you're seeing it in new growth, you have a very early arriving citrus leaf miner.
Yeah, maybe it's like the robin getting the first warm of
spring.
Yeah, he
was convinced that it was the new growth, and perhaps it was. I don't know. I can't, but it might be.
Well, since we're in that loop, let's continue. Why should we not? Let us assume he did have citrus leaf miner right now on his citrus leaves, and it's an assumption that we...
Facts not in evidence?
Assumes facts not in evidence. Right. Yeah, we're not going to go with that because they're probably not here. But what else is happening with the citrus right now that the spinosad is contrary to?
The bees.
It's flowering, and it's toxic to bees when it's wet on flowers, right?
So either spray in the evening after the bees go to bed and before they get up in the morning, or hold off.
The morning one is hard because, I mean, they're foraging as soon as the sun comes up, and unless you're spraying in the dark, it won't be dry by the time. So nighttime's a better time. My opinion.
No, I agree.
Yeah, nighttime's much better.
Before they get up in the morning. Spray at night before it's...
But let me ask you this. People say, well, I'll just spray in the morning.
Unless
you're doing it at 3 in the morning.
Don't. Because it needs to dry first.
Correct.
But what if it's cool and damp overnight and we have fog? Is it going to stay wet and damage the bees in the morning?
Fair question. I don't know.
I don't know the answer either.
Nor do I. we can ask a plant scientist.
A smart person.
That's right.
Kurt probably would know the answer to that.
Yeah, most likely.
I wouldn't spray right now because the citrus is in full bloom. And if it's not, make sure that if we have an upcoming rain event that you take advantage of it and feed it and try and encourage it to start growing.
Correct.
And blooming.
Correct. Like this week. Next week.
I'd be interested to actually know if there's citrus leaf miner as well, because the spinosad is limited to 6 times a year on citrus, and we want to take full advantage of using it when it's actually active.
Agreed. And I think probably not, because if the citrus leaf miner came out really early this year, we probably would have seen it. People would have brought in samples of it already.
Right.
Because as soon as it shows up, people want to know what it is.
That is true.
I heard that elephant too.
So when you say spinosad, the product we carry that is spinosad is what?
Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew.
There we go.
Now, unfortunately, Ken isn't here to discuss the all the same name but different products under the same label. But Bonide is rebranding all of their products as Captain Jack's.
Yeah, which
so it's Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Captain
Jack's. That's the organic line, right?
Yes. It's going to all be Captain Jack's. So you have to make sure
you read the label.
You have to pay attention to what the label says.
Well, I think that's the one he cites quite regularly is 8.
Hey, Mark, guess what?
What?
We have a call.
Very good.
Would you like me to go to it?
It's up to you.
Thank you. I think we should go to Diane. And actually, I need to find my cursor. There it is. Good morning, Diane. How are you this morning? She's from Tierra Santa.
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you?
Thank you.
So far, so good.
Excellent. Well, thank you for taking my call this morning. I've got a question about trees and hope you can help. Our homeowners association in Tierra Santa has several myoporium trees on the hill, which is facing west. And these trees are older trees, and they are suffering from an infection by thrips. And so we're losing that fight, and these trees are going to be removed. So I'm wondering if you might be able to recommend an equivalent replacement tree, you know, which has similar characteristics in terms of height and vertical or lateral spread and doesn't create a lot of litter.
Well, you know, there's actually a myoporum that has been developed or found that is thrip resistant. It's called Clean and Green. So it's the exact same tree, just without the happiness that comes with all those thrips.
Ah, well, fantastic.
That's an excellent suggestion, George.
Yeah, once in a while.
But also, have they been removed yet?
No, they have not.
The tree and shrub systemic takes care of that for a year at a time. And if you buy it and mix it with water and pour it around the base, the tree will absorb it and it'll kill the thrips from the inside out without having to spray and without all the work.
And not the wait for the new ones to take over to get to the same size.
I would consider working on what you have.
What systemic would you recommend in particular?
Bonide makes one called Bonide Tree and Shrub. Once a year tree and shrub?
Yeah, annual.
Right.
Yeah.
And BioAdvanced has one as well that has a fertilizer in with it that does a couple of different things. And those you mix with water in a watering can and pour right around the base of the tree, and the tree absorbs it, and it will protect them from the inside out for up to a year. It is certainly worth considering. And
The only precaution would be is if you have any kind of fruit trees near it.
Yeah, you have to look at your...
That's not an issue.
They also, I don't like to get involved with homeowners associations. So if you do want a tree that is different than what you already have there, it also depends on what the most likely approved list is by the homeowners association.
Correct.
And that's always a fun thing to
navigate. Yeah, so we have folks that come in with their folder with all the trees that they can't plant.
So
okay. Yeah. On the Clean and Green Myoporium, is that widely available, or are only certain nurseries provide that?
You can only get it at Walter. No. It should be. Walter Anderson Nursery has, because of how long we have been around and our relationships with so many different vendors, we can frequently find things that some other nurseries may not have access to just because of our web and network of suppliers. And so we have access to it. And yeah, if we don't have it in stock, it's special orderable.
When we have them, when we get them in our 5-gallon pots, they grow incredibly quickly in those pots.
Great. Well, this is all fantastic news. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right, Diane. Thanks for the call.
So the Myoporum, David, is where I first met you. I had a Myoporum that went from a beautiful tree to
I am so sorry. You have been listening to Garden Talk here on AM 1170 KCBQ. Whomever I just hung up on, if you'd like to give us a call back, the number is 888-344-1170. We're going to take a late break and be right back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back. In a regular garden with, what are we on? Garden Talk here on AM 1170 KCBQ. I am David Ross along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. So we have a caller that has a,
I was just going to say real quick, that's where I met you. We were talking about Myoporum thrips. I had some Myoporum trees that were spectacular, gorgeous trees. And then over a period of time, they just declined rapidly. I took a couple cuttings in like in 2000, 2001. You came to the counter because no one at the counter had any idea. And you said, thrips, use this. You gave me spinosad of some sort.
A ratatouille of some sort?
Of some sort. And
awesome.
I actually ended up cutting them out because it was too much work keeping them clean. And it was next to fruit trees, so I couldn't put any
systemics in.
Right.
So, but that's when I met you.
Aw.
Yeah.
Where were you in 2000, 2001 when you weren't at home?
I was the assistant maintenance officer for Helicopter Tactical Wing, U.S. Pacific Fleet.
Which is where?
North Island.
Oh, you were here?
Yeah.
That's why you were here.
Yep.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to the phones, and either we're going to talk about a stump, or he's going to stump us. I'm not sure. It's a stump stump question from PQ. Good morning, Ron.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
On the outside of my back fence is a slope going a little down to the sidewalk on the street, and there used to be three very tall eucalyptus trees. So about 15 years ago, I had them cut down, but they left about 12-inch high stumps. So they are now rotting away, and I suspect there may be, I don't know, termites or something still there, or I could probably easily cut them down to ground level with my saw saw, but what do I do them? Do I put some chemicals to treat them so there's no insects, or what do you advise?
We're all just staring at each other.
Well, what's your plan?
What do you want to do there?
Yeah, what do you want to do there? You want to plant something else there, or?
Or just get rid of them. Because of
I don't have anything. It's a bare, small slope, as I said, quote unquote, on the outside of my back fence.
Right.
Well,
if your major concern is termites, then I would probably take the back side of an axe and smack at them, because if after this long, they're probably rotting away.
Should probably break away pretty easily.
And then with what's left, we have a product from BioAdvanced called Termite and Something Else Killer.
Right.
And I think I would drench what's there with that. And that should take care of the problem. And if the wood persists for another season or a year, then maybe once or twice a year, I would dump that termite product on it and just drench it with that. That should take care of it.
Yes.
That's your major concern or primary concern is the attraction of termites, correct?
Well, I'm not sure what's in there. I hope there's nothing there, but
yeah, try and remove it and then drench what's there with the bio-advanced termite killer.
Yeah, pop in the store. We have stuff for you.
Termite killer.
Yes, sir.
It's called bio-advanced termite killer.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's termite and something else, but that'll get you to the right. That'll get you close enough.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And now Kay is waiting in La Mesa to talk to us about a loquat and berry bushes. Good morning, Kay.
Hi. Well, my loquat tree is very beautiful, but then some of the fruit on it has a brown spot that's about the size of a quarter, and the meat of the fruit is not under that. It's kind of like gone, and it's shaped around the seed area. It's very strange. I wonder if there's something I could insect doing this, or I don't know.
Is it only on the side of the particular side of the tree, perhaps the south or southwest where the sun is hitting it?
Yeah, it's where the sun is hitting it. And could it be baking the
fruit? Yeah, it sounds like it's sunburn.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, that can happen. Make sure the tree is well hydrated regularly while it's fruiting.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that would be great. Okay, and I noticed some kind of insects, but I'll have to just maybe put soapy water on it or something, maybe.
Yeah, I've not had too much of an insect problem on mine. Typically, it's the coyotes that are my issue. they love loquats.
And the birds.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, and then the other thing I had was psyllid on Eugenia berry bushes.
Mm-hmm.
What would you recommend for that?
Do you remember if you were listening a little while ago, David was speaking of some of the systemics?
Nobody listens to me. I don't listen to me.
Do you recommend systemics? I mean, the psyllid's kind of hard to get.
I do.
Yeah, so the systemics will also work on that, unless you plan on eating the berries off of Eugenia. Then you don't want to use the systemic.
But that soil drench or the spray equivalent is really good for taking care of that on Eugenias.
Okay. And then trim them well, I guess, too, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks
for the call, Kay. Bye-bye.
Sure, bye.
And poor Fran has been waiting so long in Vista, and she was so nice to us last week. Fran, good morning.
She's nice every week.
Good morning, guys. Do you still want me to be nice to you? Or?
Yes, please.
Well, just to me. You can be mean to David.
Well, that's true,
and Mark.
Too.
Yeah.
I have a question. I have garlic chives, which is a flat bladed leaf, and white flowers. I have the regular chives, which is the tubular leaf, and the purple flowers. And then I have another one, which I was told was a society chive. And it has the flat leaf like the garlic chives, but it has the purple leaves, because my friend was telling me, no, that is chives. And I said, no, because chives don't have a flat bladed thing. Well, the two plants that I planted years, it must be at least 20 years ago, they have multiplied, and the one plant is at least 4 feet all around. I mean, it's just a huge, and it's beautiful when it's in bloom. The other one, I put a bird bath in front of it, small one on the ground, and it went around the bird bath. But can I just take portions out of it now and then to decrease the size and then put it in other parts of my garden? Yeah,
it sounds like you're saying society garlic, not chives, but society garlic.
But there's no bulb.
That's the name of the plant. But yes, you can divide that anytime you want. You can put a spade in there, pull it up, and you can give it away to friends and neighbors.
Oh, I've got an acre of property. I have places for it all over the place. I just let it grow for years like that. It's just gorgeous. Okay, so that takes care of that. And then I'd like to make a request for a class, if possible. In years past, you've had somebody come in to actually... the participants would pay a fee to come in, and it's a paid class, and it's for bonsai, and we would buy the bonsai tree and the pot, and the individual would show us actually how to
correct
it in the pot. I would love to do that, because now I'm hooked on bonsai. I mean, I bought three little plants that are supposedly
to be used for bonsai. I've got the pots and everything, but I've got plenty of books. I'm buying books crazy because of the class you had, which is very addictive. But I would love to see it because this time I don't care if I have something scheduled that's going to be knocked out and I'm going to the class this time. So if that's possibility, do you think, in the future?
It is. It won't happen before probably mid to late June because we're booked through there. But, yes, it's something we've been talking about. We're just finding the right person for the workshop.
Okay. And then I want to make the comment about last week's class. As always, she was just, I can't remember her name, but she was really thorough and propagating native plants. And I came away with one important thing, and that is when you're having problems with propagating and stuff like that, there's all different techniques, and sometimes it'll work for you, it won't work for somebody else, and vice versa. And be attentive to what you're doing with your plants. So if you do have a problem, you can narrow it down with somebody from, you know, like Anderson to put it together. But ultimately, you're responsible to remember what you've been doing so that you can find a solution to the problems.
Very true.
So again, a wonderful, wonderful class. Thank you, guys.
Thank
you.
You're
welcome. Thanks very much for the call, Fran.
Okay, bye.
Bye. I started to say bye-bye, but I just said bye. Yeah. You are listening to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. We're going to take the last break, and we'll be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back with Garden Talk here on AM 1170 KCBQ. I am David Ross along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. And I apologize to everyone for so poorly managing my breaks this morning. I'm normally much better
you
at
are.
It.
You are. Well, we just got carried away. Good discussion.
I guess so. If you would like to give us a call, do it quickly because we're almost out of time. 888-344-1170. And
Fran said the class last week, but just to give kudos to, that was Renee Murphy that was teaching that class for us on California native plant propagation. And like she said, a great class.
She's from Lusa, right?
She was from Lusa, yeah.
From Lusa, sorry.
She has moved to Northern California, right. North Central. She's an environmental biologist who is cleaning up hazardous waste sites with trees and shrubs. They're using
revegetation type thing?
Well, yes, but I think it's more than just revegetation. It's certain types of things that are helping to clean up what's been left behind, which
very
is
cool.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah,
she's a dynamic individual. And Charles Carpenter, also known as Chuck, texted me to let me know that it's termite and carpenter ant killer. So
okay,
Rune, I think that I called him Ron, but I think it was Rune.
Rune, okay. And Taro makes a product called Carpenter Ant and Termite Killer.
Ah, so either the Taro more natural orange bottle or the other one. I guess I can, dare I?
Yes, you should.
I'm just going to, because good morning, whomever you are. Are you here? It was ringing and.
No,
nobody was there. I got you.
So I don't think you have a call there.
Yeah, well, okay. Then I'm going to drop it and apologize. And if you want to wait about 60 seconds and call back, somebody might be able to make it so that it works for you. So we have the carpenter ant and termite killer. I'm sure that person can hear me because the phone has answered, but sorry. And then let's do the quick feeding reminder. It's not every week, regardless of whether it's this week or next week, but it's not every week we're expecting 1 to 2 inches of rain, which is perfect for watering in all
fertilizer,
your fertilizer and
any of them.
Flushing salts out of the soil that is built up from our crummy watering habits. So if you haven't, and almost even if you have, now's the time to do your big spring feeding. I'd go out and feed everything. Yep. This. That means, why are you cringing?
Well, no, because I did feed a lot of stuff, but I know what I haven't fed. And with 2 acres, I know that I'm buying fertilizer before I leave work today.
Yes.
Is what I'm thinking.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. Yeah, see, this all works out if you just talk about it. What kind of fertilizer are you going to purchase?
Well, it depends on probably the grow power, the regular grow power, the 531.
Okay.
Yep. For a lot of the ornamental trees.
Yeah.
Particularly the liquid ambers that are not doing so well.
Oh, that'd be a really good idea. If for the liquid ambers that are not doing so well, I would suggest you buy a bag of the Grow Power Soil.
Already put it out specifically for that soil conditioner with Norwegian sea kelp, that one?
Yes.
Yes, I
imported
did.
Sea kelp. None of that domestic stuff.
That's right. I actually did that already.
When did you do it?
The last rain that we had.
Oh, I'd do it again.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Just the soil's more product.
The soil's warmer. It's all better. Kathy, sorry about that. Are you still here? Good morning, Kathy. Was that you I hung up on?
Yes, but I forgive you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. How can we help you this morning?
Okay, a quick question. I have a yesterday, today, and tomorrow plant in a pot, and it's dying. The branches are slowly turning brown. The leaves are shriveling up. The issue I think is wrong with it is that I do also have a succulent planted in the base of the pot, you know, to drape over the sides. And I don't know if I overwatered it or underwatered it, and the succulents might be taking up the moisture.
Is it starting to put out new growth? Are you starting to see the kind of purplish color of the new leaves?
It's starting to, but then it immediately dies if it does put out any new growth.
Mark has some insight on Broomfelsia, and that reminds me we need to reach back out to our other customer with Broomfelsia. What did you do? Because I think that's probably what she needs to do.
Probably repot it.
Yes.
I don't know how long it's been in the container and how often you're watering it, but I would probably repot it. And to be honest with you, I would take the succulent out or put the Broomfelsia in its own pot.
Yeah, the succulents need a lot less water than the Broomfelsia, and they like a slightly acidic soil.
Correct.
So we have one in the ground, and it's thriving. It's spectacular right now in full bloom. So maybe she can send us some pictures.
Yes, we are going to go with repot and thin no more.
I had planned on doing that and taking the succulents were a bad idea because of the different water requirements. However, I didn't know if it was also... Like, I didn't know if there was something else, a systemic that you were talking about earlier that I could put in to help
grow again. You could, but not unless we know you have a bug problem to try and deal with. And we don't have any indication of that yet.
Well, in a pot also, you need to feed it more frequently. So if you haven't been feeding it, I would look at doing that as well.
Okay, we'll do. So I'll treat it like I would a hydrangea then or an azalea.
That would be fine.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Because I got lots of those, and they're doing fine.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call, Kathy. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend. So real quickly, because we are down to about a half a minute, what are the classes today?
9 o'clock in San Diego, Propagation Techniques with Richard, and 9:30 in Poway, Blueberries Care and Culture with Richard Wright.
That was a little quicker than I expected.
You want me to go slow?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have been listening to Garden Talk here on AM 1170 and KCBQ. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.